this is right after the disciples were asking Jesus, well, how should we pray? And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. He said that that's how you pray. And right after that, he said, if you forgive those who sin against you, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. How's that for an ultimatum? I don't know if anybody's noticed, there's a nice chunk of ice on the driveway leading out of this church. What if that was you? What if you slid out into the road, and here comes a truck and hits you? Are you prepared for that? And if you came to stand before God today, would he find you forgiving or unforgiving? You know, we think about it forgiven and not forgiven. But think about it forgiving and unforgiving, and what that, depending on what God said about it, how that would treat you when you're in heaven or when you're standing before God. Because we always hear it the other way around. We always hear it. We tend to think about how much God loves us. We, you know, how Jesus died for us and wants to forgive all our sins. And that's usually the way we think about it. We take it and make it personal for us. He wants to set me free. But how often do you think about it the other way around? How often, you realize that that's Jesus talking. Jesus is the one who said those words. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. He's the one that said, if you want to find God's forgiveness, then forgive everybody else who hurt you. I mean, basically, if you look at his life, you know, some of us might want to complain, like the guy said, you know, I can't forgive them. You don't understand what they did to me. And if you look at Jesus' life, you want to complain about what somebody's done to you? Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross after he'd been beaten and tortured and humiliated and spit on and slapped? Remember what he asked for those people? Father, forgive them. So look what they did to Jesus, and then look what you're doing. You need to change your attitude. I hope you're feeling convicted if that's where you're at. So the point of this forgiveness thing, you wonder, why would God want you to forgive? Why would Jesus tell you, turn the other cheek? If someone slaps you, you turn the other cheek. If someone asks for your coat, well, give him your shirt, too. Why would he demand that? And what if he made it a little more contemporary? You know, if someone cuts in line in front of you, open the door for him. If someone tries to take your wallet, take out your checkbook and write him a blank check. When someone gives you pain, you give them comfort. Have you done that? And the question is, how does that help you? How does this, you know, make your life better? How does that help the person you're forgiving? How does it help God? Because what it seems like, I mean, if you're reading it, just looking at it, and you don't really go deep in there, you know, it looks like, well, I just wind up with a sore face if I turn the other cheek. I just wind up with people who are being mean around me because they get away with whatever they do. And you wind up, you know, I don't understand God. Why would he want me to live this way? We tend to look at it the way, you know, our American culture looks at it. We want to get people back. We want to take revenge. We want... You know, if somebody slaps me in the face, I want to give them a right hook that puts them on the floor. I'm not going to put up with getting slapped in the face. And wouldn't that make you feel better? Wouldn't that be good if you could just take that out? Or better than that, what if you were impervious to pain? What if you were the Man of Steel? Have you seen Superman? And actually a lot of movies where you've got the really strong guy. And it's really great when he's in his alter ego, when he looks like Clark Kent, the mild-mannered reporter who wouldn't hurt a fly. And he's standing there and somebody takes a swing at his gut. They break their arm on it, they break their hand, because he's the Man of Steel. And imagine if that was you, and you could stand there and take the punch, and that person got what they deserved for trying to hurt me. And most of us don't get in fist fights all the time, maybe sometimes, but a lot of our pain is emotional. We get attacked, you know, we hurt inside, and it's not necessarily physical pain, it can be, but maybe you've been cheated on. Maybe you've been insulted or humiliated. And you just wish that other person could realize how much this has hurt. You just wish that maybe they could, you were emotionally impervious to pain. Of course, I don't think that's good for us at all. I spent a long time like that, and that just hurt me inside. But when you are hurt, whether it's physical or emotional, what's your desire for that other person? Do you want to see them blessed, or do you want to see them hurt because of it? Turn to Genesis. Chapter 50, back in the beginning. If you remember, Joseph, this is at the end of the story of Joseph, kind of, and the coat of many colors. If you remember, I'm sure you remember the story. He was favored by his father, and so his brothers hated him, so they sold him into slavery, told his dad he was dead, killed by a lion, and he wound up, Joseph went through all sorts of trouble. He was a slave, he got thrown in prison for something he didn't do. I mean, he went through a lot of suffering for no reason. I mean, for not his fault. And he ended up, because how God was working in him through with his life, that he rose to power. He was second in command under Pharaoh, so he could do whatever he wanted. And his brothers eventually had to come back to him because he had this food supply. And so he was there in a position of power where he could give his brothers back what they deserved. He had a place where he could take all the vengeance he wanted. But if chapter 50, verse 15, it says, "But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became afraid. And now Joseph will pay us back for all the evil we did to him," they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, 'Forgive your brothers for the great evil they did to you.' So we, the servants of God, your father, beg you to forgive us." And when Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. And then his brothers, they came and they bowed low before him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph told them, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God to judge and punish you? As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. So don't be afraid. Indeed, I, myself, will take care of you and your family." And he spoke very kindly to them, reassuring them. So he returned good for evil, just like we're supposed to do. Let me break it down for you. The main problem that we have with forgiveness is selfishness. When we don't forgive, it's because we're selfish. We don't like to get hurt. We don't like to be embarrassed. We don't like to be ashamed because of what somebody else did. We don't like getting trampled on. In our books, our movies, even in our classrooms today, we're taught the other way around. "I'm looking out for number one," is what we hear. And if someone hurts you, you hurt them back. That's what we're taught, isn't it, through our culture? If someone steals from you, you take it back by force, if necessary. We believe in peace through superior firepower. That's our attitude about forgiveness. And our hearts have been warped by selfishness inside because we turn to ourselves first. And so many of us have this unhealthy desire for this, you know, instant gratification. We want somebody to get what they deserve for hurting us. And we want, you know, you've heard the chant, what do we want? When do we want it? Now. That's our attitude. That's what our culture teaches anyway. So when the hurts arrive, where does your heart turn? Because we all get hurt. We all end up with that kind of pain. But where's your focus? Is it on yourself? Is your first response, "God, why me? How could you have let this happen? Where were you?" Or is it on the other person? Because Jesus teaches us to have a different outlook. Jesus teaches us when someone hurts you, their benefit should be in your mind. You need to turn your heart towards them. "God, help this person who has hurt me. Bless this person who has attacked me." And we're supposed to think about the ultimate good of another. Here's a good question. What is the best thing that could happen to a bad person? Yeah. What's the best thing that happened to you? Yeah. So God wants the exact same thing for other people as he wants for you, for your enemies as he wants for you, to become a good person. And in Romans, in our scripture for today, it says, "Never pay back evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. For it is written, 'I will take vengeance and I will repay those who deserve it,' says the Lord. Instead, what the scriptures say. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. And they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good." You're not letting it slide You're not letting people get away with what they've done when you forgive them. The ultimate goal here is victory, to destroy evil, to wipe it out. And you don't do that with vengeance. You can't put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it. I like the translation that you read. Several really good translations have verse 20. It says, "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head." And Jesus quotes that straight out of Proverbs 25. That comes from the Old Testament too. That's not because God wants people to suffer. He doesn't want them to actually feel burning coals on their head. He doesn't want you to feed your enemy because you can imagine their head on fire. He doesn't want, you know, someone who's hurt you doesn't want you to go out to buy them a Coke or a drink because you can picture their face, you know, in agony from the pain. That's not the point of forgiveness, of helping someone who hurts you. The idea of the burning coals is of shame. It's of embarrassment because they've caused harm to someone who will only respond in love. They're hurting someone who doesn't deserve to be hurt, and they need to see the shame. They need to see that that's pointless. You know, what purpose is there to go on doing bad things? And you want them to desire the power that God has given you to have the ability to love in the midst of an attack, to return good for evil, to share blessing out of pain. Because ultimately, God wants people's lives changed, right? God doesn't want people to just suffer. God wants you and your enemies to have new life. He wants repentance from the whole world. And he would be thrilled, we'd all be thrilled, if everybody turned to God. He wants us, as Christians, to do exactly what he did. He wants us, his followers, to do whatever it takes to bring people to God. And when that means forgiveness, we forgive. Remember, Peter asked Jesus, "How many times am I supposed to do this? You know, how much am I supposed to put up with?" Seven was a lot. Seven was a big number. You know, one was sufficient. Two or three times, that's going above and beyond. Seven times is just outrageous. And Jesus said, seven times. You just keep on forgiving. You don't stop. You do it as much as it takes. And we do it over and over and over again because ultimately it changes hearts. I know it changed mine when I got forgiveness. It changed my heart. And that's the idea. Has it changed your heart? Have you been turned into a new person? Are you a new creation because of the mercy that God showed you? Has grace really changed your life? And if you go to Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15, and we're going to verse 30. And you remember, Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. He went to his father. He said, "I want my inheritance now." Took the money, went and spent it all, squandered it away, wound up penniless and hungry, had no food to eat. So he said, "I'm going to go home. I'll tell my dad I'll be his servant, and I'll have some food." His dad saw him, and he ran out to greet him. He gave him new clothes. He kissed him. And he said, "We're going to throw a party for him. We're going to celebrate." And his brother came home, and he saw what was going on, and he said, "Dad, why are you doing this? Your son did nothing but embarrass you. He took your money and squandered it on prostitutes." Let me read verse 30. It says, "Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the finest calf we have." So why was the dad so thrilled about the bad son coming back? Well, Jesus goes on to say, or to explain in the story, the dad says, your brother was lost, and we found him. He's found. He was dead, and now he's alive. So we need to celebrate. God wants people, God wants you and me to be like him. He wants us to forgive because then his power, his spirit can flow through us. When we forgive, when mercy and grace are not about weakness, it's not about letting people walk all over you. Grace is about victory over evil, conquering evil. And it's a sublime attack. The enemy cannot fight against forgiveness. So when people's hearts and lives are changed because we forgave them, it's nothing Satan can do about it. I mean, he can do his best to use people to attack us, but, and to make it even more personal, think about yourself. You know, the guy said, you know, we're giving somebody else what God has given us. Do you realize the pain that you've caused God with your sin, with your rebellion? Do you realize the hurt that you've given him? God could have chosen to wipe you out. He could have treated you like Sodom and Gomorrah, said, you know what? You did this to me, you're gone. But instead, he extended forgiveness. He gave you mercy, gave you grace. We're supposed to go and do the same. And what better time than Christmas? What better time than this time of year to make that happen in your life? God, at this time of year, gave his one and only Son. And he wound up tortured, nailed to a cross for us. He faced death so that you and me could find life. Let's make that what Christmas is about this year. Let's make our lives changed through the power of forgiveness. And let's change the world through the power of forgiveness. Let's find victory over evil through grace. Let's make sure we do whatever we can to change the lives around us. For Christmas time, become like God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did send Jesus, and that we can find redemption, that we can find forgiveness, that you have extended us mercy and grace when we have been the ones to slap you in the face. Lord, we thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you so much for your grace, because we don't deserve it. And you gave it to us anyway. God, help us to do the same for other people. Lord, like you said, forgive us our sins just as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And help us not to yield to that temptation to take revenge, to have vengeance. Help us to turn it over to you and change our hearts as we do, God. Help us to know what it's like to extend mercy and grace. Amen.